Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And we have a wonderful revelations to share with you today. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for showing us the way, showing us the things that are coming, so we can agree with you in this process of regeneration. And this great move of the Spirit that's coming, and also have our Psalm 91 Passover for the judgments that are about to fall, too. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, we're going to call this again, Bride Rewarded, Factious and Apostates Judged. this is... The first revelation here is from Eve Brast that she got on June 29th of this 2019. And it's pretty interesting. Good direction from the Lord. Good things to be prepared for and good things to show us how to be sanctified. And she said, when I woke up Saturday morning, June the 29th, the question in my mind was, why has the blessings promised to the bride been delayed? Well, we don't really know they've been delayed. We know that some people think they've been delayed, and it's a possibility they've been delayed because everybody's not ready, okay? And God certainly wants to make a way for everybody that aspires to be in the bride and is exercising their faith to be there. But it seems to be pointing out this first word that she got, then the Lord said, there are many pretenders in the body, feigning love for the brethren and the body, but their hearts are far from my heart. They don't know my love or my heart for my people and my body. They seek their own interests first, in that they serve with inner murmurings and begrudgingly, not as true servants, serving with my love. I know the hearts of all men. You can pretend with men, but not with God. Serve me in spirit and in truth. Be truthful with yourselves in the inward parts and repent for your works. Become just that, your works. When it's done with murmurings and with begrudgingly or out of a false sense of obligation, and these will be burned up like the wood, hay, and the stubble. I will not accept them. There is no eternal value in service done insincerely. And she gives Philippians 2, 12 through 16. So then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and questionings, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are seen as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may have whereof to glory in the day of Christ, that I did not run in vain, neither labor in vain. So, okay, that was a word that came to her. And she says, I can only conclude that there is still idolatry in the body and things that we hold to ourselves that are more important than seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, as well as looking to the needs of one another in the body. This is the cause for the delay. Okay. Yep, I believe so. And then this is a separate thing, but it really goes along with it. She says, again, after I woke up this morning, the question in my mind was, why has the blessings promised to the bride been delayed? I had just woken up from a dream about burnings and fire. Yeah, and in having read the whole rest of the dream, it appears that in this dream that these burnings are on the apostate city of God. And the bride passes through this safely, but also to get cleaned up. Praise God. In the dream, I knew I was traveling with a close family, which I thought was about 8 from UBM. And they all had blonde hair. So, you know, it could be local UBM or larger UBM. We're just a parable of larger UBM, I'm sure. But they all had blonde hair. Well, 8 is the number of the Greek word for the name of Jesus, I-E-S-O-U-S, Jesus, which equals 888, the gematria equals 888. And so 8 is the number of Jesus. And these are the people who abide in the name of Jesus. And I believe that they have blonde hair because hair is a sign of submission in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And blonde represents submission to the sun, S-U-N / S-O-N, if you get my meaning there. She said the only person that was physically recognizable in the dream was Isaiah, who was walking with me through a city. And this was an apostate Christianity city, the reprobate Zion, the false leadership of God's people. And we were trying to escape all the burnings and fires and devastation everywhere. So I believe this is meaning judgments against the apostate people of God and especially their leadership. Because that what comes up to us, all the verses that we get in the morning, many of them are about the leadership, the devastation of the leadership that's coming. And when I went to ask Father for a word by faith at random about why there has been a delay in the blessings, I asked a Bible. I used a Bible that I don't normally use to get words. It is set up in two columns, on each page with notes at the bottom. Well, because of the judgment on the apostate church, which the true church will escape, we have reported for some time what the Lord told us, and that is that Babylonish deep state will judge apostate Christianity before they themselves are destroyed. And we know that Cyrus is working on that job. But they are frantic to escape, and they're trying to stop especially the economic system that is coming into place because they were fed from that old system, right? So they're desperate to do something. They've already tried World War several times and been cheated out of it. Thank you, Father. Y'all keep praying for that. All right. My finger landed in between the two columns of Isaiah 64, 10 and 11 and Isaiah 65, 5 through 7. Both of these texts have the phrases, "Thy holy cities have become a wilderness, burned by fire, a smoke in my nostrils that burns all the day. They burned incense upon the mountains." It's interesting. I had the same thing happen to me, which I'll share with you a little later. But in this case, to get those two verses was beautiful. Isaiah 64, 10 through 11. "Thy holy cities are become a wilderness. Zion is become a wilderness." And this was apostate Zion, who was conquered, for instance, by the Babylonians. It wasn't righteous Zion who the Assyrians failed to conquer. So those are two beast kingdoms, and they show two different parables there, right? So Zion has become a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation, our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, is burned with fire, and all our pleasant places are laid waste. Babylon burned the houses of God's people and the houses of the leadership and the house of God. They did that. Then the Isaiah 65, 5 through 7 says, that say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense. Yea, I will recompense into their bosom your own iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, says the Lord, that have burned incense upon the mountains and blaspheme me upon the hills. Therefore will I first measure their work into their bosom. And then Eve says further up in Isaiah 65, 2 and 3, it says, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people that walk in a way that is not good after their own thoughts, a people that provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and burning incense upon bricks. And this is true of Christianity today. They have ignored the word of God and gone their own way with their idols. In our morning meeting, Tim received by faith at random this text, Ezekiel 5, 1 through 4. And thou, son of man, take thee a sharp sword, as a barber's razor shalt thou take it unto thee, and shall cause it to pass upon thy head and upon thy beard. Then take thee balances to weigh and divide the hair. A third part shalt thou burn in the fire in the midst of the city, and when the days of the siege are fulfilled. And thou shalt take a third part and smite with the sword round about it, and a third part thou shalt scatter to the wind, and I will draw out a sword after them. And thou shalt take thereof a few in number, and bind them in thy skirts. And of these again shalt thou take, and cast them into the midst of the fire, and burn them in the fire. And therefrom shall a fire come forth into all the house of Israel. And of course that was apostate Israel, who rebelled against the word, went their own way, made their own religion, etc., etc. Eve received by faith at random this morning, Deuteronomy 28, 45 through 48. And all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, by reason of the abundance of all things. Do you know that we've been given an abundance of all things? It's in the promises of God, and we should be rejoicing and full of gladness in our hearts. If we have faith, we will be, right? Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, that the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, until he have destroyed thee. So if you don't serve the Lord with the joy that you should get from the real, true gospel, then you will serve the enemy. And I got Psalm 37, 1 through 9, a psalm of David. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against them that work unrighteousness. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. Dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And he will make thy righteousness to go forth as the light, and thy justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass? Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself, it tendeth only to evil doing. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait for the Lord, they shall inherit the land. Glory be to God. And Michael Hare received by faith at random this morning, Mark 12:38-40. And in his teaching, he said, "Beware of the scribes who desire to walk in long robes and have salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the chief places of feasts. They that devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater condemnation." So the leadership receives the greater condemnation for their hypocrisies. You know, in many of the verses that we receive in the morning, the emphasis is on the destruction of the Zedekiah leadership in apostate Jerusalem, being destroyed by Babylon, which we know as the deep state. And of course, Babylon was later conquered by Cyrus, whom God has revealed as President Trump. So you see, there's something going to happen before Cyrus is finished doing his job, and that is the deep state's going to finish doing their job. And their job is to come against apostate Christianity. God will see to it, as we've seen. And we've gotten verses like these many times, Jeremiah 21:7. "And afterward, says the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants, and the people, even such as are left in this city, from the pestilence, from the sword, and from the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon," and which we call the deep state, right? "And into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of those that seek their life. And he shall smite them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them, neither have pity, nor have mercy." Jeremiah 34:2. "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, go and speak to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and tell him, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire." Ooh, that made him mad. And Jeremiah 34:21. "And Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his princes will I give into the hand of their enemies." Notice the leaderships, always the leadership here. "Into the hand of them that seek their life, and into the hand of the king of Babylon's army that are gone away from you." And the king of Babylon's army, by the way, is coming across the border all the time. They got some practicing here in the land for this overthrow, and a lot of other things too. They got some really sneaky stuff, pestilence and things like that. Jeremiah 39:6. "Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes, and also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah." The leadership received the heavier condemnation, the greater condemnation, as we just read in Michael's text there. And then Eve said, "I'm going to first include a dream that I had about a black woman on 6/24/19. I believe that she is a corporate representation of those submitted to some form of idolatry or darkness, bringing their mother's idols and dog into the house." Yes, that, we'll study that parable closer. I believe mother here is the apostate religious system that has birthed many who walk in darkness. And they don't know it. They're okay with their religion. They're just not okay with God, just like the people of Israel were when they were taken into captivity, when they were destroyed by Babylon. And the dog is her beastly flesh taken by her daughter to the house of God. People who are born of Babylon need to not bring their garbage into a true house of God. "I dreamed that I was in an upstairs, representing heavenly, I believe, apartment that had a large kitchen." We'll see this kitchen several times. It's really a parable about the ministry, you know, because we prepare food, spiritual food for people, right? It had a large kitchen with a marble counter, breakfast bar, and stools that surrounded the kitchen on three sides. The only entrance into the kitchen was on the right side near the back wall where the stove was located. So, entrance from the right, you would say that probably is the only people who are qualified to work in the kitchen, is the people that come from the right. The Eve left this note here, the flesh must be burned up upon entrance. So it was back wall by the stove. From the right into the kitchen where spiritual food of the word is prepared to be consumed by God's people. Amen. And there were two doors into the apartment, one on the left, not into the kitchen, but into the apartment. One on the left side of the kitchen and one on the right. The sheep, she says, enter on the right and the goats on the left. That's true. That's what Jesus said, right? And I was standing in the kitchen having just washed my hands and was drying them on a kitchen towel hanging from the door of the stove. And she writes, the bride endeavors to have clean hands and a pure heart. And of course, God's going to fulfill that desire, just as the verse that I received earlier. And she gives Psalm 24, 3 through 6. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto falsehood. Do you know that many lift up their soul to falsehood because their idolatrous religions and leaders like to be okay where they are? They don't want to have any responsibility, to have to be holy, to have to repent and believe the word of God. So they lift up their soul to falsehood. This sounds good. It makes us feel good. It tickles our ears. We'll take this, right? And have not sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek after him, that seek thy face, even Jacob, Selah. Amen. And then Eve says, the black woman had come into the house from the left door, into the house, not into the kitchen, with a small assortment of pictures in frames and knickknacks, and arranged them on the left of the breakfast bar counter. She said, I brought you some gifts. And she was proud of the gifts she brought, and I thought that they were nice, and that she was being thoughtful of me, and I thanked her for them. On the surface, they seemed nice and decorative, but added nothing of value to the house. She said, these represent the shrines of idolatry, in other words, selfishness or self, things we spend God's time on, like YouTube or books or novels that have no eternal value in our lives, spiritual growth or the kingdom, selfish activities that we spend our time and our money on that feed our flesh and don't invest in the brethren and their needs. And as you know, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you, right? And this is what we're all commanded to do, seek first the kingdom. The most important thing in a Christian's life will be to promote the kingdom of God, both in themselves and in others. Amen. But then the black woman went over and hid in a closet to the right of the kitchen because she felt guilty that she had stolen these items from her mother. Her mother represents the apostate church that she came out of, that she was born of, right? She was with a tan-colored cocker spaniel mixed dog. And you said this represents these individuals hiding and pretending to be in the right when actually they are hiding out with the dogs that return to their vomit. She said, according to Wikipedia, in Cocker Spaniels, the most common cause of death for both breeds was cancer, while old age was the second most common cause. The two modern breeds are susceptible to several health problems. Issues common to the two breeds include ear infections and a variety of eye problems. So the spiritual sight and hearing of the apostates is infected with Babylonish theology, probably. A large number of breeds are susceptible to hip dysplasia. Spiritually, the tan color of this dog represents faction, which is a cancer in the body. And ear infections and eye problems represents not having eyes to see and ears to hear. Agreed. She gives Romans 11, 5 through 10. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. But if it's not by grace, it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. What then? That which Israel seeketh for, that he obtained not. But the election obtained it, and the rest were hardened. According as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this very day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. And it has become that what they feed on is all this, a stumbling block and a recompense. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow thou down their back always. So God destroys a portion of these people. And all of those who, of course, turn away from the truth to go after their gain. They think it's gain, but it's not, right? Suddenly her mother, representing Babylonish religion, came into the apartment on the left and saw the picture frames and the knickknacks and was angry. She said, my daughter stole these things from my house. And she also took my dog. Her mother was saying that she was going to prosecute her daughter for stealing from her. Yes, see, these things belong in the Babylonish mother's house. They don't belong in God's house. And they shouldn't be there. It's against the law. So, we shouldn't take any bad habits or idolatry with us when leaving the apostate churches, nor should we take their dog or beastly flesh, right? Everything should change. We have to have a relationship with the Lord. They talk a lot about having a relationship with the Lord, but they have a relationship with their religion, which comes before the Lord tells them what to believe and what not to believe. And of course, the best thing that most people out there could do is go home and read their New Testament. Go home and read their Bible. They'll get more like that, and it will be the truth. You got it right straight from the Lord, right? You pray and you read and you let God put it into your heart. The sower sowed the seed, and the seed went into the hearts of men and brought forth the faithful, in the faithful, the 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit. And the other three-quarters of the people fell away. So you know it's the Word of God in your heart that is going to bring forth Jesus, and you are responsible to study the Word for yourself. Okay. I looked over to the closet and saw the woman hiding over there with her mother's dog. And I went over to the closet and confronted her about these accusations and said, I didn't realize these things were stolen or I would have never accepted them from you. And this dog can't be in the house either. No dogs in the house of God. That's even commanded in the law. Yeah. Well, but you know who they call dogs, right? The dogs were the unbelievers, of which makes up most of what we call the church today. So, I apologized to the mother and told her that I would restore everything that was stolen. And this seemed to appease her anger as I led her with the stolen items and the dog out the right side door and down the steps into the fenced yard, representing the mother going back to her Babylonish captivity, right? Leviticus 1, 6, 1 through 7. Leviticus 6, 1 through 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, If anyone sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and deal falsely with his neighbor, in a manner of deposit, or a bargain, or of robbery, or have oppressed his neighbor, or have found that which was lost, and deal falsely therein, and swear to a lie, in any of all these things that a man doeth, sinning therein, then it shall be, if he shall have sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took by robbery, or the thing which he hath gotten by oppression, or the deposit which was committed to him, or the lost thing which he found, or anything about which he has sworn falsely. He shall even restore it in full, and shall add the fifth part more thereto. Unto him to whom it appertaineth shall he give it in the day of his being found guilty. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish, out of the flock, according to thy estimation, for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven concerning whatsoever he doeth, so as to be guilty thereby. Amen. So, you know, there is a doctrine of restitution out there. If you've taken something, return it. I've seen people say that they repented, but they wouldn't return what they had stolen. Right? So they don't know much about repentance in the Bible. Sometimes restitution isn't possible, you know, and in which case you're absolved. But if it is, you need to do something, right? The black woman was remorseful for what she had done and followed us out of the apartment apologizing. And then she gives Joshua chapter 7, 1 through 26. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the devoted thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, and the tribe of Judah, took of the devoted thing. These things are devoted unto God, right? And when you take something that's devoted unto God, that's theft. By the way, I want to say to you that the tithe in the Old Testament was devoted unto God. However, in the New Testament, Jesus said, if you don't renounce everything you have, you can't be my disciple. So now we're just stewards of what belongs to him, and he's able to tell us what to do with it, you see. Otherwise, you're a thief. You know, tithers in the New Testament are thieves because they only consider that 10%, more than the 10% belongs to God, 100% belongs to God. They haven't considered that. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke unto them, saying, Go up and spy out the land. And the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. Make not all the people to toil thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, and they chased them before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, he and the elders of Israel. And they put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord, wherefore hast thou at all brought us this people over the Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to cause us to perish? Would that we had been content and dwelt beyond the Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say after that Israel hath turned their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and will compass us round and cut us off, cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do for thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore art thou thus fallen upon thy face? Israel has sinned. In other words, it ain't my fault, it's yours. That's usually the situation. Yea, they have even transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. Yea, they have even taken of the devoted thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also. So they stole that which belonged to the enemy. And by the way, the apostate church is the enemy. And it is ruled by people who are not ruled by God. And dissembled also, and they have even put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. You realize if you take of that which belongs to another house into the house of God, you won't be able to stand before your enemies. You will not conquer the old man. They turn their backs before their enemies because they are become accursed. I will not be with you any more except you destroy the devoted thing from among you. So we're going to lose our battle with the old man, with the flesh of our land, if we covet their ways and their lusts. And verse 13 on down says, Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, There is a devoted thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies. Would you want to be the one that caused the whole body to fail because you brought pollution, leaven, into the body? No, because God judges that person pretty harshly. Until you take away the devoted thing from among you, in the morning, therefore, you shall be brought near by your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come near by families, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come near by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come near man by man. Of course, this was by using the lot, right? And it shall be that he that is taken with the devoted thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel near by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought near the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites. And he brought near the family of the Zerahites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken, And he brought near his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Pretty neat how they used the lot and believed in a sovereign God. Since they believed in a sovereign God, the lot worked. And Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Of a truth, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoil a goodly Babylonish mantle," and I believe this represents taking on the works of the Babylonians, the anointing of the Babylonians, okay, "and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight." So gain is always involved when one wears a Babylonish mantle from Babylon, the mother of harlots, right? And also you can look at their lifestyle, their greed, their 17 airplanes. Yeah, things like that. "Then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers. They ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, unto all the children of Israel, and they laid them down before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the mantle, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them up unto the valley of Achor, which means troubling. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire, and stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. And the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day, where one man brought such destruction to his household and to Israel. And yes, he does judge it rather harshly. When we got down to the yard of mown green grass, that is inside the fenced yard, right, I noticed that everywhere the dog walked, the ground would split apart in long, fairly deep cracks. And I believe this, she says, represents a factious, divisive spirit. And I agree. And such as denominationalism is a faction. And it's a work of the flesh. And also the latest faction, which is much more radical, also exhibits this parable. And also, dogs return to their vomit, Eve said. That's true. Proverbs 17:4, an evildoer giveth heed to wicked lips. You see, when you listen to someone who is a slanderer, it's because you're an evildoer. Right? They giveth heed to wicked lips. And a liar giveth ear to a mischievous tongue. So it identifies the person that listens, right? Proverbs 26:11-12, as a dog that returneth to his vomit, so is a fool that repeateth his folly. And we know some that have repeated it and repeated it and repeated it. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Psalm 101:5, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I destroy. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. And then she says, I woke up. Then she adds another dream on June the 29th, 2019. I dreamed that I was in a city that was under judgment, being burnt up by fire. This city seemed modern, yet ancient at the same time. Well, that's because as ancient Israel was judged for turning to the ways of the world to replace God's word, so the modern church has done the exact same thing. So it is ancient and modern. There were no skyscrapers, no heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right? And there seemed to be many palaces and terraces overlooking the city and the surrounding landscape. The ground that it sat on was being disrupted by volcanic lava that would erupt randomly and bubble up from beneath the ground at any given moment throughout the whole city, and also the surrounding landscape as far as the eye could see. So this is the city of apostate Christianity, which God has sent judgment against. And I don't guess there is a bigger topic in the Old Testament than cities which fell to the beast entities because they rebelled against the Lord. So the things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. So it's old and new, and it's still happening. And it's going to happen. It has to, or the word of God has to be broken, right? So this represents, I believe, hell and its torments coming out upon the earth for the sins of the people. Yes, volcanic lava coming out of the ground everywhere. Many structures were catching fire as the lava flows reached them. And Eve has this city represents the apostate mother church. True. And it will be under judgment. She said it was sunset and the sky was filled with red and orange colors and black clouds and smoke on the horizon. The sun is setting on the apostates and their time of judgment has now come. I was traveling with a small group of people that seemed to be a close family. I felt this was like the UBM family, but the only person that I physically recognized was Isaiah, who was walking beside me. Isaiah represents the prophet, right? He hath shown me a device that he found or made that would help us reach our destination safely. He was cupping it with both hands, and it looked like a small white block. And I would say the thing that came to me when I read this was the altar of sacrifice, which is four square. So this block represented the four square sacrifice of flesh, right? And on it was some kind of a computer chip. The first thing that came to me was the mind of Christ, which we receive, which is to sacrifice self. In the middle of the top of it was this computer chip. So Exodus 27 and 1, and thou shalt make the altar of acacia wood, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad, and the altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. Philippians 2 and 5 says, have this mind in you. This was the mind on the box, right? The chip. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. And what did he say to us? If unless you take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. So we have to have this mind of a sacrificial life, the altar of the sacrifice of flesh, right? She says, I think it's no coincidence that Isaiah was the only person that I recognized in the dream. And then when I awoke and asked for a word, I received the book of Isaiah. Yeah. So Isaiah's prophesying through her, right? Yes. I asked Father for a word by faith at random, using a Bible that I don't normally use to get words, and it is set up in two columns on each page with notes at the bottom. And she says, my finger landed in between the two columns of Isaiah 64, 10 and 11. Okay. And, of course, we read these, but we're just trying to put it all in context right now. So that you can, we only pointed out this dream earlier to make a point, but now we're, you know, pointing the real dream out to you. But I'm going to skip this part. We looked at those verses, Isaiah 64, 65, etc. She said, we didn't feel we were in danger at any given moment, but our goal was to reach our destination that lay in Mansfield, Texas. Mansfield, Texas. Texas means friends, I believe, if I remember correctly. Just beyond my father's land that I inherited from him. Amen. So the righteous will escape the judgment of the wicked. They weren't in danger. They went through all of this, all the burning and so on and so forth, and they never felt that they were in danger. In the dream, I knew that this is where the first or original volcanic eruption had taken place. Yes, you know, hell came out to crucify Jesus, right? That's right. This is where the original organic eruption. Judgment begins at the house of God, right? Amen. It had spread throughout the countryside through this city. We are now trying to navigate through and escape out of. And this land just beyond was a new land, a land of peace and safety. So that's where they were headed, a place of peace and safety. Even though they had the peace and safety as they passed through all of this judgment to get to that land. Did you notice? The righteous have a Psalm 91 Passover of the destroyer, because they ate all of the lamb, which is the word of God. They believed it all. They didn't use their religion to give them a pass on the word of God. So the verse you got was 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you, which cometh upon you to prove you, as though a strange thing happens unto you. Well, this is a fiery trial, right? Fiery trials do destroy people, and others not. They went through it in peace, right? But insomuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, which is where it all began, right? Him and then his disciples and then the wicked were taken down, right? You are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Rejoice that at the revelation of his glory also you may rejoice with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are ye, because the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God resteth upon you. For let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or an evildoer, as a meddler in other men's matters. But if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. For the time is come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begin first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Doesn't quite fit once saved, always saved, does it? That's one of those doctrines that people lean on so they don't have to believe the Bible. They don't even read it. Wherefore, let them also that suffer according to the will of God commit their souls in well-doing unto a faithful Creator. So, in Jesus' day, judgment came first on the man-child and the bride, because John looked on Jesus and he saw the people around him, those first disciples, and he said, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." It came on the man-child, and then it came on the bride as a crucifixion. But then the deep state Romans in 70 AD destroyed the apostates who were guilty of the death of Jesus and his disciples. And who did it the first time? It was God's false religious apostate people who did this. And it's the same today. God's bringing judgment on those who have, like Judas, put to death Jesus. Who is it that puts to death Jesus but the person that teaches a lie and doesn't warn God's people? The blood of the saints was on Babylon because they didn't warn God's people of the truth, because they persecuted and crucified them. So he went on to say, as we walked on a sidewalk leading higher up in the city, there was a waist-high partition or wall that separated us from a steep embankment that led down into the vast plain outside the city. I could see a wide dirt road that went through the plain. Well, that's the broad road that leads to death, right? To destruction. And I could see dirt devils forming on the road, that broad road, and catching fire, turning into fire nados. Many people were being killed throughout the city. Just remember that, folks. Lots of people are going to die. And not from physical fire, but spiritual fire, and some of physical fire too. But the spiritual fire covers all of the judgments, doesn't it? The fiery trial, right? And many people were being killed throughout the city, and that's the apostate city, and the surrounding countryside by the lava flows, fires, and fire nados. There will no doubt be fires as Babylon burned the apostates, but fire also represents many tormenting situations, many fiery trials. As we saw, they used the sword, famine, and pestilence against the apostates. And I believe the same is happening. It's already happening, actually. They've used all of these to come against the people of God, including burning down paradise, right? And Las Vegas, the sword against all the conservatives that they didn't think needed to live. We came to an indoor children's amusement area and small rides and bounce houses on our left. We went into this area looking to rent a small silver metal boat or a canoe in order to cross a vast expanse of lava that flowed out of the city and into the plain out of the outskirts of the city. So it was flowing out of the city, lava. And, of course, you know, no canoe made of silver metal is going to hold up in a lava field. But this represents that childish methods, you know. So it was an indoor children's amusement area, right? It represents that childish methods will not preserve the people from these judgments to come. Only repentance and faith in the blood will. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "And he has said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Glorying in your weakness would be like not looking for a canoe. So, trusting the Lord. So here comes the Lord's answer. Suddenly the ground underneath us began to rise and violently heave us up 20 feet high in the air. Like a huge wave, it carried us over the lava to more stable ground on the other side of the plain, outside the city. Amen. At first, we were concerned that lava was going to swallow us up, but instead, the ground helped us. Well, you know, that brings forth Revelation 12, 16, and 17. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the river which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon waxed wroth with the woman and went away to make war with the rest of her seed, that keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. You know, dragons breathe fire too. And they say, I read that Tyrannosaurus Rex had cavities in his skull for mixing chemicals, kind of like the bombardier beetle does, and spits fire. And you know the old stories that they believe are fairy tales about dragons breathing fire. Well, there seems to be some proof for that. At any rate, this was fire, and it was going after the people of God, right? It was a river of fire going after the people of God, and the Lord saved. He spared. He gave to the woman the two wings of a great eagle. Once we were on more solid ground, a good distance from the city, we came to a large hospital that was set up like a Sam's Club warehouse. It had rows and rows of tall shelves of food and supplies, but also had operating room suites for surgery on the sick and diseased patients. Well, you know, this is a great supply that comes after all of that weaving in and out of the judgments of God upon the apostate group. Notice that. This is coming afterwards. She talked in the beginning about why has it delayed. Well, now it looks like that the people of God are going to go through this and learn Psalm 91, living. I don't believe that this is going to last very long. I think it's going to be very furious, but I don't think it's going to last very long. And I believe that's when the bride will receive her great provision, which is what we're seeing right here. And also they will be able to operate on the sick and diseased patients, spiritually speaking. God's people don't use the methods of the world. They use the methods of Jesus. He operated on lots of people. But he didn't practice medicine or surgery. Okay. This reminds me of the barbecue dream where the old heavenly man, representing the Father, came in to tell us to go across the hall to the larger warehouse room where there were tall rows of all kinds of provision and supplies. This was a promotion to bring us to a larger place in God, representing more freedom, provision, and responsibility. Yes. So, very, very, very neat here. However, some people don't want to go through anything to get to that wonderful provision, right? So, why are the blessings for the bride delayed? Well, from these revelations, it is easy to see that the righteous will see the reward of the wicked from the perspective of the Psalm 91 Passover. See, the bride went through all that, saw it all, wasn't touching them, they weren't afraid. They passed on through it to their land. And there was their provision. So they did see these things and found their wonderful provision. Psalm 91, Passover. I'll just read Psalm 91 so you can see how many things in here agree with what we've just went through in this Revelations. Psalm 91, 1 through 16. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, that's kind of like the name, 888, right? Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. You need to confess Him before men, or He won't confess you before the Father. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. There it is. He will cover thee with His pinions, and under His wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. Oh, thank you, Father. You are so good. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. And they weren't afraid, were they? Nor for the arrow that flieth by day. For the pestilence that walketh in darkness. You don't get to see pestilence, but it's watching it. Its effects on people around you is nerve-wracking. Unless you put your trust in Psalm 91. Nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. That is who? That is those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, Jesus Christ. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Notice they were in the midst of all of this and watching it and seeing the reward of the wicked. They didn't miss out on it. They went through it. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. That's what we got to do. Confess Him before men. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. For He will give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up on their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent, that shalt thou trample under foot. And because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. Do you love the Lord? Do you love Him enough to study His Word and want to know everything about Him and want to know how to walk pleasing unto Him and all of these things? Because He set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He hath known my name. There it is, 888. We're back to that. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. How awesome. And then, she says, I saw a factious leader. Now we know this person. In the waiting area, and then I saw his mother, which represents the apostate church, who was very sick and near death, being rolled on a stretcher by a medical team who were going to try to save her. But they didn't have much hope of success and told me to let the man know that his mother was near death and probably wouldn't make it through the surgery. Well, she wrote, the apostate church of the factious man will not survive the judgment. This is true. I went and told him what they said, and he was upset and distressed by the news. And she gives Jeremiah 50, 11 through 13. Because you are glad and because you rejoice, O ye that plunder my heritage, because you are wanton as a heifer that treadeth out the grain, and neigh as a strong horses, Your mother shall be utterly put to shame. She that bare you shall be confounded. Behold, she shall be the hindermost of the nations, a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert. Because of the wrath of the Lord, she shall not be inhabited, but she shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at all of her plagues. Yes. Babylon, the harlot of Revelation 17, right? Who birthed a lot of children that don't know the Lord. After this, I found myself in the women's public restroom in the hospital in one of the stalls, which were all painted brown. Brown. That sounds like the Nazis, doesn't it? But I believe it represents leavened teaching that does not demand sanctification. I was having some trouble getting rid of the waste, and a woman came and knocked on the stall door and told me that she was sent by God to help me get rid of the waste. And she puts in a note, "Thank you, Father, for your grace to do this for your people. His power is made perfect in weakness. But we must seek Him with our whole hearts to get cleaned up and not withhold anything from Him, of ourselves or of our possessions. No idols." Amen. Philippians 3 and 8 says, "Yea, verily I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things and do count them but refuse, that I may gain Christ." They're dung, right? "That I may gain Christ." Amen. Do you count everything as loss to gain Christ? Wow, it seems like a person that did that would be very serious about seeking God first and His kingdom, right? First. Yes, they would desire to know everything about God because they love Him and they want to please Him and they want to walk in His steps, you know. She took me to a room that was completely white. This woman who was going to help her to get rid of the waste, which we would call getting ready to meet the Lord, right? Getting ready to be the bride, right? She took me to a room that was completely white and that had a private, completely white bathroom. And I believe this represents the true teaching of sanctification. All right. Yes, my opinion. It was here that I was able to eliminate all of the waste. And when I walked back out of the restroom, there was a table that had an old television sitting on it. There was a news report playing on the TV of my maternal grandmother's house. Now, the grandmother of the bride house is that house that was in the beginning, right? The real house of God. In the beginning, back in Jesus' day, the ancient mother's house. It had caught fire, but only certain things had been burned up in the house and on the property itself. And she puts a note, "Burning up the wood, hay, and the stubble." And I say to leave the original house that Jesus started. Amen. All the rest of this stuff is garbage piled on a foundation, right? Some don't even have the foundation right. And she said to herself, "Well, it's at least salvageable. Nothing was lost that is important." That's right. When the fire goes through, it's kind of like the three Hebrews that went into the fire and only lost their bonds, right? They didn't lose anything important. What they lost was something they needed to lose. And so it is with the church. 1 Corinthians 3:10-15. "According to the grace of God, which was given unto me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let each man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. By the way, Jesus Christ, of course, this foundation is the gospel, that he took away your sins and he gave you his life. And almost all of Christianity does not know that to this day. And it is so simple. We behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord. See, it's no more I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. They don't know the real gospel until today. And their Babylonish harlot mother is guilty of the blood of the saints because they haven't told them what's clearly written in the Word of God. But if any man buildeth on the foundation gold and silver and costly stones, wood, hay, and stubble, so, see, nothing that's going to be lost is worth anything, right? Not important. That's that wood, hay, and stubble. Each man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in fire. And the fire itself shall prove each man's work of what sort it is. If any man work shall abide, which he built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. Well, when you're saved through fire, of course, things burn off, you know, but you're saved. Well, that's what we're here on this earth to do, is to have all the wood, hay, and stubble burned off of us through the fiery trials, so we can be ready to leave. Some people got the crazy idea that this all happens in heaven after you leave here. Well, and what's a fiery trial anyway? It's a trial where you know what the Word of God says, and you're supposed to hold to the Word of God while you go through it, hold to the Word of God, and either you do or you don't. That's a fiery trial. If you do hold to it, the fire burns up the wood, hay, and the stubble. If you don't, you're going to suffer great loss, right? Because that is the makings of eternal life. So this is so good, isn't it, saints? Okay, she says, this is where she woke up, okay? Notice how all these revelations fit together. I still got another one to share with you that fits together with this very well. She said the rest of the text of Isaiah 65, 8 through 25 is here. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and my chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. Of course, that's Judah that is the inheritor. And Sharon shall be a flock of a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor, a place for herds to lie down in. That's the valley of troubling, right? Where they got rid of that which was causing a stumbling block, right? For my people that have sought me, but ye that forsake the Lord. I want to say to you, too, my friend Bolivar many, many years ago told me, he asked the Lord to tell him, what are you going to do with the carnal Christian, Lord? And this is the text that he gave him. But you that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, of course, that's our goal, is to climb the holy mountain, right? The presence of God is at the top. That prepare a table for fortune. We talked about that too, didn't we? That's all they're in it for, is what they can gain of worldly, earthly gain, right? 17 airplanes? And that fill up mingled wine unto destiny. I will destine you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter. There it is. Very clear. Because when I called, you did not answer. And when I spake, you did not hear. But you did that which was evil in mine eyes, and chose that wherein I delighted not. How do we find out what God delights in? We read His Word. Become very familiar with the Word and who wrote it. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, my servant shall eat, but you shall be hungry. There it is again. Behold, my servant shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but you shall be put to shame. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall wail for vexation of spirit. Now, this is about the carnal Christian. This is about the one that's walking after the lusts of his flesh and picking out a religion that tickles his ears and going there because he likes what they say. It's no threat against the flesh, right? And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. And the Lord will slay thee, and he will call his servants by another name. Oh, gosh, what happened to once saved, always saved? So that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. Well, for the bride, that's going to be true earlier than it is for the church. She's going to find that place of blessing. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. That's the bride, right? And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And there shall be heard in her no more the voice of weeping and the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, and the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. This is what happened to the apostates. They built and they planted, and other people came in and took it away from them. For as the days of a tree shall be the days of my people, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands, and they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for calamity. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Okay, so you remember all the kitchens in these revelations here? Well, we're going back to the kitchen here. Shalonda Kelton had this on June the 28th, 2019. How is it that we get things that are coming together like this when nobody is knowing what somebody else is dreaming, right? Highly unlikely, wouldn't you say? In this dream, UBM was going to go on a two-month resort. Resort, that sounds like a place of rest and of peace. Hey, that sounds like exactly what Eve was talking about, right? I couldn't go because I had to work, but I was able to see what the resort looked like before I went to work. But the resort was really nice. Log cabins in a beautiful area. Log cabin sounds like a wilderness place, right? A place of rest, right? In a beautiful area. Well, that's our really nice wilderness homes, looking like a resort in a beautiful area. But when will this happen? Because that's where they were planning to go, right? Well, but Shalonda said she had to go to work. So she said, I went to work, and I was cooking and cleaning in the kitchen. There she was, in the kitchen preparing the spiritual food of the Word, right? A factious leader, one that we know, was there working at my job. You know, this kitchen is not a physical kitchen or a physical place. It's our job out in the world to prepare this food for people. And there's those that are just Judases that want to hinder that. So I'm working at my job, and I saw him and knew I wasn't supposed to talk to him, because the Bible says not to. And because he has been working to sabotage our kitchen so that the children cannot be fed the Word. He claims no, but he lies, and we have the proof of it. So I didn't talk to him, but my coworkers looked at me funny because I was avoiding him. Then he started lusting after the women at my work. They didn't like it and were getting upset, which is exactly what is happening and what has happened. Okay. So he rushed out of the kitchen area and went into the hallway and sat in a corner, kind of like a bad little boy, right? Put him in the corner. I went over to see if I could help him, and I began rebuking the spirit of rejection. Yes. That's usually at the foundation of affection, is rejection, like quite often. As I was bending over in front of him, he reached out to give me a hug, and I said no, very sternly, because I didn't want a transfer of his spirits. Then he looked like he was going to cry, so I started to come against the spirit of shame. The verses I was given, this is me now speaking, the verses I was given confirm perfectly the shame God will heap upon him and those like him. She said, after this, my boss, who was a woman with red hair and a wheelchair, wanted him out of the building. So the body of leadership has been handicapped because of this sabotage, and everyone is working to repair what he did. And by the way, making it much better, we can see the goodness and the grace of God that we started over, because they're having so much more success. The police came and took him away. And we warned him of this. And also, the law of the Word condemns his works, or all of their works, actually, as illegal and needing incarceration. And that is what came to me in Matthew 5:22-28. But I say unto you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of the hell of fire. Could that be the lava coming up out of the ground? Yeah. If therefore thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art with him in the way, lest haply the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. And that's exactly what happened to this person. And at least in this revelation, right? Well, it did happen spiritually, but it may happen physically too. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence until thou hast paid the last farthing. You have heard that it was said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that everyone that looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And then I heard David say, he cannot come back until he truly has repented. Do you know what true repentance is? It's when you confess your sins. When you find somebody that claims to have repented and they want to buddy up to you, but they won't confess their sins, which you can prove that they did because there's witnesses and so on and so forth, well, then they haven't repented. They're still under delusional demons. And of course, we always pray that any of the brethren that were taken captive in this Babylonish bondage would be delivered. We always pray for that. Whenever anybody's mentioned, we pray for them, you know, that they would wake up, come out of their stupor, and be honest and repent. And then I woke up. And I asked Solanda if she had any sense that he would repent, and she said no. So, listen to this. This is pretty interesting and just as powerful as some of the things we've already read here about the sovereignty of God. After reading this, I opened my Bible and I looked down on Psalm 40, 14 and 15. Let them be put to shame and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be turned backward and brought to dishonor that delight in my hurt. Let them be desolate by reason of their shame. This shame, notice shame mentioned. Shame, shame, dishonor. Right? That say to me, aha, aha. That's, oh, we saw it, you know. False witnesses. I then flipped the page looking at the same spot in the upper right hand corner of my Bible. And I at the time I wasn't paying attention. I just flipped the page and I ended up flipping two pages and I was looking at the same spot when I flipped the pages. And it ended up being Psalm 35, 25 through 26, which says the same thing. Let them not say in their heart, aha, there it is again. So would I have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Let them be put to shame. There it is again, put to shame. And confounded together that rejoice at my hurt. There it is again. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor. There it is again, that magnify themselves against me. That's amazing, amazing. Look at the commonality in these two texts, you know. Say, aha, shame, dishonor. By the way, the words put to shame are all through the Bible. If you type that in and do a search, you'll see just text after text after text, a long list of texts. And it says, basically, all the way through there, that the righteous will not be put to shame, but the wicked will be put to shame. And yet, the wicked think that they're going to put the righteous to shame. God Almighty is the defender of the righteous. It was like when those Pharisees, you know, decided they were going to persecute the disciples and found themselves fighting against God, as one of their own teachers said, right? Then I remembered that I had been hearing in my mind for quite a while. I mentioned this to some people in the last week or two. I'd been hearing in my mind this, the text of Psalm 86 and 17. Show me a token for good, that they who hate me may see it and be put to shame. There it is again, shame. because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. Well, there's the end of the story. After going through all this and seeing the reward of the wicked abiding in the secret place of the Most High, Psalm 91, not being touched by those judgments, here we come to it. The Lord has helped me and comforted me. And you notice that shame is mentioned here too. And I've been thinking, of course, that the token for good that would shame them was the blessing on the bride. Now, we studied that. Okay. Oh, praise God. Thank you so much, Lord God, for what you're showing us, all this awesome revelation here. In Jesus' name. Lord, in the midst of this great turmoil that is coming to our nation, before the deep state zeroes out at the Dead Sea, at the Red Sea, I should say, the Dead Sea, yeah. Lord, that you would grant repentance to your people. We know that the man-child is the first fruits, and the first fruits unto the man-child is the bride, and then the further down the ladder is the church. And all are to come into the image of Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for, the gospel, the good news, that we don't live, he lives in us. And that's not just a statement, that's a statement of faith, which will come to pass because the power of God is upon it to bring it to pass for the people that believe. The gospel is the power of God to everyone that believeth. Everyone that believeth. There's a lot of people that do not believe. Jesus said these signs will accompany them that believe. Supernatural signs accompany them that believe. So we have to believe Jesus. Who is a believer? He knows. It's those that believe as the scripture hath said, out of their innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit that they that believed on him were to receive. The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit going forth, is going to do signs and wonders, healings, deliverances, prophecies, dreams, visions, etc., etc. All kinds of good things. All the things mentioned in Corinthians 12, right? All of them mentioned there. And these wonderful signs, you know, are a portion of Jesus' ministry, which has been given to the body of Christ. You see, the anointing that was upon Jesus is being put upon his children through these gifts of the Holy Spirit. So as the corporate body of Christ, we need those gifts in the body to go forth and do what Jesus wanted to do by going to heaven and sending back the Holy Spirit. And that is for the body of Christ to rise up and go forth and bring in the harvest. It's going to happen. With or without some people. And some people are just waiting to fly away. That's the only thing they really expect. They don't expect to be used by God. They're not interested in going out and getting into the harvest field and actually bringing in the harvest. They're actually hindering the harvest, many of them. They're, you know, used of Satan to hinder the harvest. Do everything they can to take it down. And we want to see this, and I ask you to pray for this, this mighty move of the Spirit. We want to see God's glory go forth. We want to see multitudes come into the kingdom, which the Bible says will happen in these latter days. The latter rain outpouring will bring in multitudes of people, but they will all of them believe the truth, who grow into the image of Christ. There's no way you can come into the image of Christ 30, 60, 100 fold without believing the truth. It was the word of God that was sown in the hearts of those people to bring forth that fruit. And today, you might go to church for a week and not learn enough from the Word, which is His supernatural Word, His power, to grow any that week. That's why I say many people, they're not going to a church, which is what the called out ones, because those people are not coming out because they're listening to a sermon maybe once a week, maybe twice a week, but they're not studying the Word for themselves and pouring it into their soul, as Parable of the Sower speaks about. There's only one way the fruit can come forth. We are so looking forward to this revival. And you know who it's going to come through? It's going to come through the people who have the Word living in them, the Spirit of God living in them. And there's going to be trouble for the apostate church. There's no way to stop it. It is written. We've received the mighty prophecies of it. It's going to happen. Judgment is coming to the apostate church. Not that we want to see it. We don't, but we know it has to happen. It has to happen to turn many away from the foolishness. First of all, what's going to happen if they burn down churches? Well, people are going to, you know, first of all, if they burn them down, people are not going to feel so comfortable about going and gathering in large groups that could be bombed or directed energy weaponed or whatever, you know. They're going to feel uncomfortable about doing that. They're going to go seeking God for themselves. They're going to realize that, look, these are the end times. Look what's happening around us. This is a judgment we never thought could happen in America. I mean, we're out here in the middle of the oceans, right? But it is coming. And it's coming because of God's grace and His love to turn people and to remove people who are in the way of God's kingdom. They stand in the door, and they won't enter in, and they won't let you enter in, Jesus said. They hinder the gospel. Be careful that you're not one of those that hinders the gospel and hinders God's children from growing up in Him. You know, there were people who thought their whole ministry was to destroy Jesus. They didn't have a ministry other than that. And I'm telling you today, there's people just like that. Their whole ministry, it is not to save people. They can't save people. Because the only fruit that they can share is evil fruit, you know. But they make it their aim to destroy ministers who are ministering the gospel. You can tell, you know, the dragon, of course, sought to devour the man-child before he was caught up to the throne and received that anointing. And they have tried to do that. Around the world they've tried to do that. But they couldn't do it because God preserved His man-child, and they will have that anointing. Praise be to God. God's great. He is awesome. And He is going to show His power to preserve people through the midst of all of these troubles, just like this revelation speaks about. All the lava, all the fire, all the death, and they walked right through the middle of it. And Psalm 91, notice, they did the same thing. And they beheld the destruction of the wicked, right? With their eyes. They beheld the destruction of the wicked. In other words, they were close enough to see it. And it will happen. It's going to cover this nation soon. And but the fruit that's going to come from it is revival. Because the great provision there that comes because of this destruction is provided by the latter rain. That's right, the latter rain. God's going to pour out His Spirit, and His man-child ministry will be here. Glory be to God. So, now we put this, we put a foundation for what we say in text, because you can't find it if you do a search and it's only an audio, you just can't find it. But because we put it in text, at least the framework of it, we always say a lot more than what is written in the text, but we do that in order to get the gospel out so that people will do a search, they will find it out, they will go there, they will read it. And it's a lot more work that way. It's a lot more work that way than just going and preaching it, you know. But since we're doing most of our fishing over the internet, it makes a lot of sense to do it this way. And you'll notice, too, that we're sharing parables, just like Jesus was. People don't like it, you know, but they didn't like Jesus' parables either. But these are Jesus' parables that he's giving to us. Yes, it are. It's the same thing. There's no difference. So they don't believe in that. They don't believe in speaking in tongues because they say that's of the devil. So they're always against something the Bible says is good. You know, you should read your Bible because you cannot trust in men at all. It's always contrary, totally contrary to the Bible. And they don't mind speaking against the Word of God, just like they didn't in the days when the Old Testament church, Israel, spoke against the Word of God, and their leaders spoke against the Word of God. And, of course, God judged them for that. And he's still doing it today. He judged them because they spoke against the Word. The Word was the truth. It was God trying to get across to his people warnings, and they would not pay any attention, and he took them out. Today, they've been getting warnings. There is nobody out there that is not full gospel, that hasn't gotten the warning that the whole Bible is still true. There's nobody out there. They've heard it. It's been pointed out to them. They've heard testimonies of people who've been healed and delivered and miraculous, and they just look the other way. They've seen the warnings. They've seen the fruit. If signs and wonders like this were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented in dust and ashes, right? Yeah. So Jesus warned that when there's signs and wonders, they make you responsible. Uh-oh. Yes, responsible. Signs and wonders make you responsible. Notice that none of the faction has any signs and wonders, and they don't preach any gospel. And they just try to deceive people and speak against others. That's what they do. And fornicate, just like we saw here. So, Father, we ask for your mercy and grace upon your people, Lord, that mighty signs and wonders would go forth. We believe that this is going to be a rather sudden destruction, a very well-organized destruction that's going to come forth in the different ways in which Babylon attacked the apostate people of God. That's the type and the shadow that you have given to us over and over and over, Lord, so we know it's going to happen. The things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. And so, Lord, I pray that people will realize what's happening. Many are going to speak against it, are going to speak against people who are saying that this is the judgment of God. They did it on 9-1-1. They shut a lot of people up by screaming at these people, God wouldn't do this. You know, no, this is not the will of God. No. If it happened, it has to have God's permission. Nothing can happen without him. He works all things after the counsel of his own will, and no one restrains his hand. Nobody. He works all things after the counsel of his will. So if it happened, don't say God didn't do it. Shall judgment befall a city and the Lord hath not done it? That's what he said. The answer is no. Some people out there, false prophets, are saying, oh, the Lord's not doing it. Oh, it's going to come, but it's the Lord, not the Lord. Oh, they're just wrong. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. And in these texts that we read to you, God was angry, and he sent these mighty judgments against people. He wasn't afraid that they were going to find out he did it and be mad at him. He wasn't afraid of that. He's God. He must be honored as God, as sovereign. Amen. Father, so we're asking, Lord, for this revival to be exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. That it be so powerful that it reaches throughout the world and touches your people. Yes, we know that even though this faction against the man, child, and the bride might be over, it's not over against the church, because the people who come up in that direction too also are going to go to their cross, and they're also going to run up against these factious Judases. And so, Lord, that's just the way it is. That's the way it was all the way through the Bible. All the way through the Bible. And, Lord, the things that have been are the things that shall be. But we thank you, Lord, for using all of this for your glory to save some, even some that are among the faction. You've told us that there's a remnant there that's going to be saved. They're going to be delivered. And we're so looking forward to it and so praying for it, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. And this mighty miracle of revival that's going to follow this judgment. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. This is so awesome. We thank you, Father. Let people recognize it, Lord. I know there's going to be people screaming out there that, no, this isn't from God. Yes, it is. And, Lord, I pray that you will prove that to people, at least those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. You will prove that to them, that this is the judgment of God, and that you are angry when people disobey your word, because your word is life. When we disobey the word, we teach others that they don't need life. And when we belittle the truth, we teach others that they don't need life. But your word is life. And thank you, Father, for drawing each and every one of the disciples that are listening today, drawing them unto yourself, empowering them, putting in them a desire to get into your word, to sow that seed in their hearts so that they in turn can turn and give it to someone else. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name, that this be a wonderful geometric progression of an explosion of revival going throughout the earth. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. The only question is it going to happen with you? You that are listening, is it going to happen with you? It is coming. It's coming fast. It's going to be awesome. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your mercy towards us so far. We know that when we hate sin and we don't want it, we're like Paul in Romans 7. The good that I would do, I do not, and the evil which I would not, that I do. Who shall deliver me? And, of course, the answer was Jesus Christ. And since it, the evil which I would not, that I do, it's no longer I that do it, but the sin which dwelleth in me. So people who are against sin and admit sin and confess sin and hate sin, they will be delivered. The ones that justify themselves, they will not. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, just remember, when you want to see your loved ones permanently changed, don't forget to tell them. It's not accept Jesus. It's repent and believe. Repent, which is confessing your sins and believing the good news of the gospel. The accept Jesus gospel is out there, but it's not the truth, and it's not quoted from the Bible either. Well, Father, we praise you. We thank you that you're going to do it. Thank you, saints, for joining us today. The Lord bless you and keep you. And we'll do this again sometime. Good night.